So the Holy Family were very faithful in observing the law of Moses, and some aspects of that law have to deal with the woman after she's given birth to a child. So because of the blood involved in childbirth, she was considered ritually unclean. She could not be part of the worshiping assembly for a period of time. If she gave birth to a son, that period of time was 40 days. And upon the 40th day, she would have a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, offered by a priest. And in this case, they offer a sacrifice of two turtle doves. And it's interesting because actually in Leviticus, it says that you should offer a lamb, but if you're poor, you can offer the turtle dove. So we know something about the Holy Family's economic situation at that time. So that was for the purification of the woman who had given birth, the ritual purification. Now, if she had given birth to her firstborn son, there was an additional ritual that was involved, which was a ritual of redemption, because it was considered that the firstborn sons belonged to the Lord, and so their family had to pay a price to keep them, okay? And this price would be paid to the priest. This was a reminder of what God did when they were slaves in Egypt during the 10th plague, right? Remember, the angel of death killed all the firstborn sons in Egypt, but spared the Hebrew sons. So the Holy Family undergoes these rituals of purification and redemption, but it is Jesus himself who purifies and redeems humanity. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. And when they walk in with the baby Jesus, he recognizes that this is the one that he's been waiting for. And he thanks God for that. And he declares Jesus to be a light for the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Similarly, the prophetess Anna thanked God for having sent the Messiah, and she shared the good news with everyone who was awaiting the redemption of Israel. Now we celebrate today, we call it the Feast of the Presentation, February 2nd. It used to be called the Feast of the Purification of Mary. And it is one of the oldest celebrations on the Christian calendar. So we have stories of pilgrims visiting Jerusalem in 380 AD and writing that there was great festive celebrations on February 2nd where this gospel was read and Mass was celebrated, and that this had been going on there for quite a while. Now, Simeon, remember, refers to Jesus as the light to the nations. So there came to be a tradition also on February 2nd of blessing and lighting candles. And so in some parts of the world, this feast came to be known as Candlemas. And occurring as it does, certainly for the Northern Hemisphere anyways, at the beginning of February, it became to be a day in which people would pay attention to the weather as prognosticating whether winter would be longer or whether spring would come soon. So there was an old English song that went like this: if Candlemas be fair and bright, come winter, have another flight. If Candlemas brings cloud and rain, go winter and come not again. Now you may realize this is why we celebrate Groundhog Day. It's about predicting the weather, okay? So the groundhog comes out of a hibernation, okay, and sees his shadow. That means there'll be six more weeks of winter. Remember, the song says if it's clear and bright on this day, winter will be longer. But if he doesn't see his shadow, it means it's cloudy, right? And so spring will be coming sooner. Now, you might be wondering, am I going to mention one of the greatest movies of all time right now? And I will in just a minute. Our first reading from the prophet Malachi, the last of the prophets, the last book of the Old Testament, speaks of a day when the Lord will return to his temple and when he will purify his people. Our second reading describes Jesus as the merciful and faithful high priest who takes away our sins. So, redemption is a fancy word that we use. It means simply to buy back, right? And this describes what Jesus does. So on the cross, he sort of pays the debt of our sin. He buys us back from the power of sin and death. And that redemption is applied to an individual human being through faith and baptism. At least that's the ordinary way. But Our purification, our sanctification, is a process that continues throughout our life. It's the process of us becoming more and more like Christ. So Malachi describes God purifying his people as a refiner purifying precious metal like silver or gold. There was a group of women who were studying this passage in the Bible, and they had really no familiarity with what refiners did. And it turned out in their town there happened to be a silversmith. And so one of them agreed to go and see what he does and report back to the other women in the Bible study. So he graciously allowed her to see what he was doing, and kind of on this almost like kind of long spoon, he extends some silver deep into the fire. He says it has to go into the hottest part to burn away all the base metals so that all you have left is silver. But he also said you can't leave it in too long, or in fact you'll destroy the silver itself. So she asked him, well, how do you know when it's ready? And he says, it's easy when I can see my image in it, right, his reflection. And think about what God does for us. He is purifying us until he can look at us and see the image of Jesus, his own reflection, back. Now, let's talk about Groundhog Day. One of the greatest movies of all time is about a man named Phil Connors, who is a weatherman for a Pittsburgh television station. And you find out very early in the movie that he is selfish, rude, and arrogant. And he gets the assignment, which he thinks is beneath him, to go out to rural Pennsylvania, to Punxsutawney, to report on the groundhog and whether the groundhog sees his shadow or not. Turns out that the groundhog does see his shadow, which means it will be a long winter. And Phil Connors can't wait to get out of that town. He considers himself better than those people. But he's prevented from leaving the town because of a huge snowstorm, this blizzard that comes in. So he has to spend another night in Punxsutawney in the hotel. But when he wakes up the next day, it's February 2nd again. It's the exact same day he just lived, right? And if you've seen the movie, right, he keeps repeating this day over and over again. And the alarm clock goes off, and there's a Sonny and Cher song, right? There's a morning show. So in the beginning, he's trying to figure out what's happening, and he realizes what's happening. He's a little bit dismayed at first, but then he gets the idea that, well, the day resets, so I can do whatever I want, and there's no long-term consequences. So he actually starts doing some very bad things. Right? There's an insurance salesman that annoys him that he punches out. He robs a bank. After all the days, he knows exactly where they're going to be standing and turning their backs and stuff like that. He seduces a woman because he finds out all about her and her likes and dislikes, right? So he's using this almost kind of a superpower for evil. But as he's doing this, one of the women he works with, his producer, is named Rita, he begins to fall in love with her. And Rita is just the opposite of Phil. She is loving and kind and generous and good. And he thinks, well, he'll eventually kind of trick her into falling in love with him. And he tries over and over again, and she never does. Like all the scenes, she keeps slapping him in the face. Now, at this point, he's almost just exhausted of constant sin. And actually, he wants to die. So he tries to kill himself. But then he wakes up, and it's February 2nd again. So he can't escape it. So in the depths of his despair, he really sees for the first time a man that he's passed who knows how many thousands of times, a homeless man. He decides to help the homeless man. He buys him a meal. He sees the homeless man is sick, so he takes him to the doctor, and the homeless man dies. And he tries to think about how he can live that day differently and save the homeless man, but he's not able to do it. No matter what he does, the homeless man dies. But Phil's attempt to save the homeless man saves Phil's soul, because that marks a transformation, that marks a purification, a redemption, right? He begins to begin each day and think, how can he help other people? How can he do good that day, right? So he changes a tire for a group of elderly women. He catches a boy falling from a tree. He saves a man from choking. He cultivates all the virtues. He becomes a virtuoso pianist, and he reads great books. And at the end of a perfect day, and I mean perfect in the sense of a day of great virtue, Rita falls in love with him. And when they wake up the next day, it's February 3rd, right? He's escaped that kind of purgatory that he was trapped in. Now, God is not mentioned very much in the movie explicitly, but there is an important scene in which Phil is reciting a poem that he's memorized. Only God can make a tree. And I believe it's a recognition of God as creator, as Lord of life and death. The movie Groundhog Day shows a man in need of purification and redemption. He is caught in an endless winter, a deep darkness, a cycle of sin. That is the situation of mankind without Christ. Christ comes as the light to the nations. He comes to purify people and to deliver them by the power of his love.